We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, very glad to be in the house of God. The last message that I had preached here was a Mother's Day message, but the time before that, the title for the message that I had preached was Not I, But Christ. And I did mention that there was some that I had wanted to say and didn't get ran out of time. And then a sister came to me later and asked the favor of me, you know, finishing that. So the title for the message today is Being in Christ. With the message of Not I, But Christ, it was kind of like having a choice between serving ourselves or serving Christ. And the emphasis was on Not I, But Christ. And as we make that choice to live for Christ, what does it mean about being in Christ? Like if Christ was like a certain house and we are living within that house, within those walls, what is that like? And I discovered that the Bible really has a lot to say about being in Christ, dwelling in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. And the Bible also has a lot to say about him wanting to be in us. But primarily the message is for us to be in him. And what is that like? And I'd like to first bring out some scriptures, and I'll start in Romans chapter 8, where he says, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now this tells us that when we live in Christ, being in Christ, we have a choice to make, and this is a spiritual walk of life. And he says here, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the life that we live being in Christ is a spiritual walk of life. And also, we want to bring out that Christ will not allow anything into himself that is sin. So if we walk after the flesh, it's like we are being outside of Christ. But the message here is being in Christ. Now, other scriptures that we can go to, and I'll just go through here and read. You don't have to go to all these references. In fact, many of them I won't give them. But in Romans 3:24, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ, inside his body, is where redemption abides for us. In Romans 8:2, he goes on and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So if you want to get rid of sin and death, you don't have that staring you in the face. Live within Christ Jesus. In Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In Romans 16, he brings it down here more personal where he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They were in Christ Jesus and they were the helpers of Paul. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stacy, my beloved. Salute Apollos, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household, approved in Christ. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." We also have babes in Christ, new people who have come to the faith. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." We heard the gospel, and he has begotten us in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Being in Christ is where life is. If we are outside of Christ, if we're not in Christ, that's where death is. That's where we die. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." So we know that if you're fighting a war, you must be in Christ to be able to triumph. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." 2 Corinthians 3:14, "But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." You have something over your eyes, something you can't see, something you're confused about, look at being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So being in Christ is simple. It's not complicated. It's not something there are a lot of things you've got to figure out. Just accept him and live in Christ, and so many things will come clear to you. Galatians 1:22, "And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ." We hear he is saying about churches being in Christ. Are you part of a church? But we have to take this down personally. Are you in Christ? It takes many people within this church so that this church may be in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You cannot come to live in Christ Jesus unless you have faith in him. Faith is very necessary. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." It's like the whole thing comes together being in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It's in Christ Jesus only that we can find the heavenly places to sit. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So it takes going, accepting the blood of Christ for your sins is where you can live in Christ Jesus. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all places in Christ. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." So the consolation is in Christ. "For if we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The apostle brings out in several places, and he names people by name, that these people were living in Christ. They were being in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, that the communication of that faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There are many scriptures, and in fact, in the book of Ephesians itself, there are over 40 references that directly reference being either in Christ Jesus or Christ Jesus being in us. And I'm convinced that there are so many Christians who are not enjoying freedom because they hold wrong views of themselves in relation to being in Christ. So how really is the life that we are to live being in Christ Jesus? Now, when you study these scripture verses, it is pretty clear to the Christian. But how can we bring this a little nearer to life and put these things in practice in our everyday life? I was, of course, with the business that we have, there are some times that people want to come to pick up their products after hours, and that was the case yesterday afternoon. The ladies that work there told me about that and wondered if I could take care of him, and I was there. And although I did wish I wouldn't have to be, because I was like, God, I need time to get this message ready and so on. And well, you can always find excuses if there's something you don't really, you know, that you're not really into. But this, I was there at 4 o'clock, and this young man came in there, and he was a very nice man. And we got to talking, and he told me that he's ex-Mennonite. He said his father ruled with an iron hand, and he knew exactly where the standard line was, and they had bukus of standards. And his dad told him that if you do all these things, you will be saved. If you don't do them, you will not be saved. You'll go to hell. And, you know, it just never sat too good with me. It was just, to me, it was an outward thing. And I got to the place where I just am very much against any church regulations whatsoever. In fact, I cannot find any scripture anywhere to support the idea that the Spirit of God speaks to a church. He only speaks to individuals. And I said, well, so you don't go to church? Well, we don't really right now. So you went to the place where you are now, right from the Amish church? Oh, no, I was with a little church in Guthrie, Kentucky there, a little charity church there. But, you know, that thing just kind of flew apart, and there's just three families there anymore. And it's really not working out very, very good. And, you know, with his idea of his thought of the Spirit only speaking to individuals, you know, I wondered, I had questions. And finally we got into a very interesting, was it a debate or a dispute? I'm not sure. But anyway, I got pretty passionate about how I felt, and he got pretty passionate about how he felt, and it got to be a little interesting. And I really enjoyed it, and I think he did too. But he got to the point where he just said that he believes it is only the Father's place, as he is connected to the Spirit, to make any regulations whatsoever. But doing that as a church is just not what we're called to do. And I said, so, I said, don't you believe in church? Well, yeah, I do. I said, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about church, about it being the bride of Christ. And this thing of not speaking to the church, and you only believe it speaks to individuals, don't you think the Spirit is able to get brethren to agree on anything? Well, he wouldn't want to. That was kind of a new thought to him, and he didn't want to really say that the Spirit couldn't do that. And I asked him, you know, how many children do you have? And he said, 10. And I said, wow. I said, that's interesting. You really have a responsibility. I said, what are you going to do if you get to the point where your boy wants a mohawk haircut, you know, looking like, you know, some wild idea? And he said, well, I would need to sit down with him and look and see what is in his heart and show him that that's not how to live. And I said, well, what if he's not going to see the point? What if he does not agree with you? He just thinks he can do that and he can still be accepted of God. What are you going to do then? Well, I'm not sure. I said, you might want to consider putting some regulations in your family because, you know, what are the other children going to think? And what if your daughter wants to come by in some kind of immodest clothing and you're going to try to show her heart problem and she doesn't really see the point, you know? Basically, I said, you're getting to the point where you don't even believe in church and, in fact, no regulations at all. I mean, what does the Bible mean where it says to come out from among them and be separate? Is that not making a line somewhere? You know, and to say that we have no right as a church to make regulations, I said, what about the verse in Matthew where it says that if there are two that come together in my name and they agree on something in my name, they agree that they cannot have an agreement there and God will bless that agreement? I said, that's where it says, what it says. And he said, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Show it to me once. Well, I went to my office and got the Bible there and read that to him. And wow, that was a head scratcher for him. And you know, when he left, he really thanked me for taking the time to talk with him. He really appreciated that. And he said he really has some things to think about. And of course, I did too. But I am more convinced than ever that God in his Spirit will speak to a church and have unity of the Spirit where they can speak together and decide, you know what? I said in our church, you know, we don't want our young people coming by with some kind of bright red sports car. I mean, we don't want to have a look at me thing going on in our church because we're here to glorify God. So if the Spirit all speaks to us and makes us unanimously agree that we don't want that, are you saying that God's Spirit can't do that or that God's Spirit doesn't lead us into something like that when we try to make some regulations to protect our people? I said, there is a fence out there somewhere. And he said, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, I said, just like in the sheepfold of Jesus. I said, it is like how you look at that fence and you appreciate that because you can see exactly the enemy is out there wanting to get into our little ones. Don't you want some kind of fence out there to keep the enemy out? Well, he said, that's something to think about. Well, sure it is. It's something to think about. It's something for us to consider as a church. But I do look forward to meeting this young man again. And you know, having 10 children in this world we're living in, and now living in the area between Clarksville and Nashville somewhere, and not close to any church and not being even a part of a church, that young man will have his hands full. And so I would certainly pray for him. Not saying that we have all the answers. No, we always need to be open to look and see. But you know, this brings me to the next thing. Being in the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Isn't Ephesians very clear where he says that it is the bride of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ, and we are of his flesh and of his bones? Is that why Bishop Junior Yoder here, when he was here several years ago, said he does not have any hope for someone who rejects church membership and says that he can be on the outside of a church and he can still serve God and be accepted? He said, I have no hope for your soul. Well, the Bible is pretty plain that the bride of Christ is the church. Maybe they are thinking that there's just some invisible church out there. Well, in a sense, there is an invisible church, because God alone knows who all is saved and who is unsaved. And that we don't know, because we are here in our physical eyes. We can't see that. There are people who might act saved, but we don't know for sure, because God is the judge. In that way, I can see an invisible church, because we are not to where we can pronounce somebody saved or unsaved. Really. But still, we know by the Apostle Paul's teachings here that there were people that were part of the visible church, and they were members of that church. They were added to that membership as a part of that church. And when somebody asked that person, where do you belong? He knew which church he belonged to. There was a belonging there, and it goes straight back to the church, back to the body of Christ, and being in Christ. That's where it goes to. And it is very important that we do get this straight as far as the value that God has for the church and the people in it. And when we realize that value and we come to it and we dwell there within, we are being in the body of Christ. Now, there are a lot of things that try to get us away from dwelling in the body of Christ. But it's so important that our perspective and our focus is right. There are so many temptations and allures that the devil has today to try to get people's perspective out of his body and somewhere else, and wishing to be somewhere else. And I'll just speak to the boys here for just a minute, and the girls too. I want to speak to you young people about something. And I'll just say this for what it's worth, but I say it as a warning and as instruction to you to listen to this very carefully. There was a boy that I'll name Bruce, and he was on a college campus, and he was all into just living life to what he thought was the full in having fun and chasing girls. That's just what his life consisted of. And there was a girl there that he especially liked to chase, whose name was Greta. And when there were competitive games played, it was often that it ended up with Bruce chasing Greta. He liked to be with her, and she was the kind of girl that kind of kept all the guys at arm's length, but she played the game on their emotions to keep them coming. She enjoyed that. She knew that if she accepted somebody, well, it'd be over. Then she'd be stuck with just one guy. So she knew how to play that game. It makes me think of back when I was young growing up and we went to school and we played prisoner's base, and there were some people, and I don't mean to talk down on anybody, but I just want to tell you that these things just don't pan out, and they are not spiritually, emotionally healthy for anybody. But anyway, when we played prisoner's base, and there were some of the girls who would run like everything, and the boy who liked her would run after her, and she wouldn't get caught till she was all the way at the other end of the playground, and then they could walk together back to home base or whatever. But do you know what kind of emotion playing was going on there? You know, we talk about puppy love sometimes, but, you know, puppy love ends up as a dog's life, is what I've heard, and it usually does. There are some people that might go ahead and get married to the person that they did that to when they were young. That might be the case. But I want to tell you, there is not going to be a rock-solid marriage in that marriage until they recognize the futility of, or the stupidity, or whatever you want to call, as far as this puppy love stuff. these games. But anyway, Bruce was chasing Greta, and Greta kept him coming. But one day, there was a coach that came to the college campus, and he saw Bruce run after Greta. And this got his attention. This coach was a track coach. In other words, he was a coach that taught running. And he saw Bruce run, and he talked to Bruce afterwards when he had a chance, and he tried to get Bruce to become part of his track team. Nah, Bruce said, I'm not interested in that. I've got fun doing what I'm doing, and I'd just as soon, you know, I don't want to do that. Well, the coach kept on talking and convincing until finally Bruce agreed to try it. So the day went that he went to try it, and Bruce found out that he could really run. He was pretty good at it. In fact, he started working out with the team, and he became the best runner they had. And Bruce was like, he was a happy boy. So he was invited to go to the state championship, to the state tournament, and he was there a little early, and he was stretching and warming up, you know, getting ready for the race, when all of a sudden here some girls came along, and Greta was in the group. And Greta came up to him with a dish, and she had a slice of Dutch apple pie with a couple of scoops of ice cream on it. And she told Bruce, hey, would you like to have this? And in fact, you can have this and me too, if you want. And Bruce looked Greta in the eyes and said, I'm not interested. And she said, oh, come on. What are you talking about? He said, I am not interested because now I am a runner. He got his focus somewhere else. He got his focus on a race, and now he had something else to do. He had other interests in mind. So my question for you young people, where is your focus? Where is your perspective? Are you here trying to serve self and having a good time and feel good, or do you have your eyes on the race and you're going to run that race with patience? That's what it means to be in Christ. When you have people that are in Christ and they're living in Christ, they're not going to go after this so-called worldly trash. They're going to live their life now with a new meaning and a new perspective and know that we have got a mission here. And it is to serve Christ, and we can only do that being in Christ. It's a little like the father and son who were farming 2,000 acres. And this is for you parents and me too, first of all. Farming 2,000 acres, the son was all in it. He put his heart into it, and it was so wonderful. They had all these acres, and he was the only son and his dad working together. He just loved it, and he started dreaming of all the money and all the acreage they could farm. And the crops were prosperous, and everything was going good. When one Sunday, a missionary came to the church and preached a message on missions and on where our heart is. And the son got to thinking about this. And the missionary saw the success that they had in farming and how they managed so well. And the missionary got to thinking, if I could just get a man with that kind of dreams and those kind of, in other words, not material dreams, but dreams as far as being a missionary, I would really have something. The talent that that young man had. And he talked to him about going to the mission field on a certain place. And the young man thought about that, and he had a choice to make. You know, it is farming and making all this money, or it is going on the mission field. Well, he decided to give the mission field a try for 1 year. Well, he went off to the mission field, and he saw all the needs there that the people had. And his perspective changed. And one day, here comes a letter from his dad saying that he wanted to quit the farm and was wondering if his son would come home and take it all on. And the son wrote a letter back to dad and encouraged him to just sell the farm, sell everything back there, and give it to charity because I have found what I want to do in life. That is the perspective we're talking about of being in Christ. Being in Christ, it is a most critical part of our identity. Because when we dwell in Christ, would we have a problem telling someone who we are? How would you have a problem telling someone really who you are if you are dwelling inside of Jesus Christ, which is inside the church? And as we relate to each other as a church, that is exactly how we relate to Christ. And it really says how we are dwelling in Christ, our perspective of each other. If it is anything out of love and concern for each other, are we really dwelling in Christ? In Philippians in chapter 3, in verse 14, he says, "Here I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's the only place where there is a prize, in Christ Jesus. And it's the only place where you'll really get your true call and purpose in life is in Christ Jesus. There is no other calling. There is no other purpose outside of that. If you make something else your purpose, you will go somewhere where you don't want to go. You'll end up somewhere where you do not want to end up. And going back to Romans 8 in the chapter we started, when we look at verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And this Christ that is in heaven making intercession for us, are we being in him? That's how he can make intercession for us. Us being in him, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, we sang the song about a mighty fortress is our God. And it talks about the protection that we have there. God cannot be a mighty fortress for us if we are not being in Christ. That's where the fortress is. And then you have all these things that come to us. Tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all those things that you can name, it can't separate you from your dwelling place when you make the choice to be in Christ. It is the most important choice that you can ever make. And as far as these messages, I came across things that to me, when you think about preaching a message on being in Christ, the field is so wide and so huge. I have just, to me, what I have said today is just a drop in the bucket. So I don't think I'm quite finished yet with this thing of focusing on being in Christ. It's like, not I, but Christ is a choice that we make for Christ. Then how is it in being in Christ? And now I'm wondering, how would it be to have a message on who we are in Christ? Because we want to know how it is to dwell in Christ, but then really, who are we in Christ? It's a very valid question. Do you know who you are? And do you know the strengths that you have because of being in Christ and being owned by Christ? Do you really know? You know, when this Bruce was chasing Greta, there was a perspective in his mind of who he was. And that perspective was wrong. He did not know that he was a runner. He did not know that he could excel in something else. Well, when we dwell in Christ, what is your view of what you can do for God? So really, who are you? It is the most valid question that you can ever face of who you are in Christ. And if you can't accept who you are in Christ and what Christ really can do for you, it is impossible to live to your full potential. And that potential is huge for every one of us. It all depends on your perspective of Christ and who you are in Christ. Let's kneel to pray.